Why do you feel like I need to get to what the Lord gave me for you today? Because God wants you to be successful. Amen. It's God's plan for you that you don't fail. You know, I listen to a lot of people, and I know they mean well, but I think you have to be careful when you hear about people saying, well, God will let you fail sometimes to teach you a lesson, or he'll bring hard things to get you where you need to be. But you need to understand the author of failure is who Jesus said in John 10. It's the thief that does what? He steals, he kills, and he destroys. And Jesus came that you may have Zoe, the God kind and quality of life. It is the will of God for you to succeed in every area. And so we've been looking at Joshua chapter 1. So let's go there. Joshua chapter 1. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And so it says, there shall not be any man able to stand against you all the days of your there shall not be any man able to stand again before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people you'll divide an inheritance of the land that I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, but that you would observe to do according to the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that's written therein, and then you will make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So the word of God is telling us how to be a success, how to have success in our life and not fail. And so we've been looking at the children of Israel, realizing that the first group, it was the will of God for them to get their inheritance, the promised land. It wasn't God, it wasn't the giants, it wasn't the walled city, it wasn't the land itself that kept them out. We've been looking at this, and we decided from the word of God, we all decided this, right, that what kept them out was what? What they thought of themselves. They had a grasshopper mentality because of what they meditated on. Remember, I said to you, God got them out of Egypt, but he could not get Egypt out of them. Have you been delivered from the world? Have you been translated from darkness into light? Amen? Well, we got to make sure there's still no darkness in us, that we're walking in the light as he is in the light. We've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and so we need to act like that and begin to meditate. We need to see ourselves correctly. They saw themselves. Remember what they said, Numbers 13:33. It says, we in our own sight are grasshoppers, and so are we in theirs. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So it's very important, your meditation. It's very important what you think about yourself. So their meditation of what they thought of themselves is what kept them out of the promised land, not the walled cities, not the giant. What else kept them out? Their unbelief. Remember in Hebrews, it said they had an evil report or an evil heart of unbelief. That unbelief kept them from obtaining the promises of God. And the other thing that kept them out was fear. Remember, they said of God, they said, you've brought our children out here to kill them. What a terrible thing for them to say, but that's what they believed, and that came from their fear. But how many of you know, God delivered their children into the promised land, but none of them saw the promised land. So it's very important for you to understand that the reasons that they could not go into the promised land were on their side, not God's side. It was on their side, not even the enemy, not even the walled cities, not even the land itself kept them out. Because none of that changed the second go-round. The walled cities were the same. The giants were the same. The land itself was the same, and God was the same. What changed was Joshua and Caleb trained another generation. They trained them to believe God. They trained them to speak the word of God. Remember when they were walking around Jericho? He's like, nobody say anything till I tell you. And then he said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And what happened? The walls fell down. How do we know that God had given them the city? Y'all remember Rahab? Rahab the harlot. Let's not dress her up in anything. She was a harlot. And yet that harlot ended up in the line of Jesus. Amen. So there's no excuse for any of us in this room. I don't care what you used to be. It's important who you are now. It doesn't matter where you come from. It matters what you are now. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Remember what she said to the two spies, though. Remember what she said? She said, we had heard how you all walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. We had heard what your God did to those two kings. And so she was saying to him, we've been waiting for 40 years for you to come and get what's yours. But how many of you know the enemy didn't move? How many of you know they didn't all move out of the walled city? Remember Rahab lived in the wall? They all didn't just leave. And the enemy won't just leave either. You got to make him go. I said, the enemy won't just leave either. You got to make him go. And so I want to give you some keys today, because we've talked about meditating in your heart. We've talked about speaking the word. We've talked about doing the word. But here I want you to see some keys. And so in Joshua chapter number 6, it says, be strong in the Lord. Joshua 1:6 says, be strong and of good courage. And then again in verse 7, it says, be thou strong and very courageous. Be thou strong and very courageous. And then in verse 9, it says this. Have I not commanded? God's not playing around here. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I command you to be strong. I command you to be of good courage. What does the word courage mean? It means fearlessness. It means audacity. It's someone, if you're of good courage, it means, anybody ever watch The Wizard of Oz? What did the lion need? Right, he needed some courage because he's supposed to be a lion, but he acted like a little kitty cat. He didn't have any courage. He was full of what? Fear. He was full of fear. And the Lord is saying to Joshua, and God is saying to you and to me, in order to be a success, in order to get your inheritance, how many of you have an inheritance? Are you joint heirs with Jesus? All the promises of God are what? So it's not on God's end. But just like salvation, you have to receive them. You have to walk in them. You have to obtain them. Just like the promised land, the first group, it belonged to them. It was God's original plan for the first group to go in and get their inheritance. But they could not, because they didn't believe, because of how they saw themselves, and because they were afraid. And because they were afraid, that meant they were not strong. They thought to do it in their own strength and in their own might. And so that means all of us need to listen to this, because the truth of the matter is, no matter what area God has called you to be a success in, you cannot do it in your own strength and in your own might. That'll get you to a certain place, but it won't get you to the favored place of God. It won't get you to where you need to go. And God, I don't care what it is. I don't care what you do in life. I don't care what kind of career, sports, marriage, whatever it is, you cannot do it in your own strength. Your strength can, even if you're the best of the best, your strength can take you to a certain place. But I like what the Bible says. It's not by might, not by my might, not by power, not by my power, but it's by your spirit, says the Lord. I mean, when the Spirit of God comes on you and graces you and anoints you, then you can do anything. Amen. When you're doing it in God's strength, in God's power, then there's a grace on you that attracts people to you, that they'll pass over a number of people that are better than you, because there's favor on you. Because God is on you. Amen. And it works in every area of life. And God wants you to be a success. He wants me to be a success, but not in my own strength, in my own power, in my own might. And so God is telling us, be strong. And be of good courage. In other words, do not let fear creep in any area. So let's look at some scripture about the strength of the Lord and what God promises us. And because we've already had one service and second service, this is the second one. And so y'all believe God with me that you get everything you need and you don't get any short change, but you got extra. Hallelujah. You can tell everybody in first service, I think Pastor might have disobeyed. It was still good. First service was good, but I'm telling you, woo, we hit the glory spout here. Amen. It's almost hard for me to concentrate. Hallelujah. So let's look at strength. James. I'm even on the wrong sermon. Hallelujah. Let's look at Psalms 27. I'm just so woo up here. Psalms 27, 1. Let's look at the strength of God. Let's look at the strength of God. The Lord is our strength, and He has strength to give you. And ultimately, what I want to get to is I want you to lose your strength and get His strength. I want you to walk in His power, His might. And so the Lord has strength for you. Psalms 27:1 says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." And look at this, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" You see, the children of Israel were afraid. And He kept telling Joshua, "Be of good courage. Be fearless." And then in verse 9, He said, "I command you, be strong, be very courageous, do not be afraid." He's telling them to have courage and don't be in fear. And then in verse 9, He doubles up on it. He says, "I'm telling you, I want you to be very courageous, and I do not want you to be afraid, and I don't want you to get dismayed." Because when you get dismayed, it's like you're discombobulated. It's like when you're dismayed, you're in a cloud. Fear brings that. But what removes it? He said again in verse 1 of Psalms 27, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" When the Lord is the strength of your life, no fear can get in. I'm just not going to be afraid. 1 Chronicles 29, 12. "Both riches and honor come from the Lord, and you reign over all. And in your hand is power and might, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength." In God's hand, and His hand is open, He gives you strength. Psalms 29:11, "The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." The Lord will give strength unto His people. Are you ready to receive His strength? Amen. Psalms 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Who is your strength? God is your strength. "The Lord is the strength of my life. In His hand, He has strength to give you." Glory to God. He helps me in trouble because of His strength. Psalms 41:10, "Fear thou not." Don't be afraid. Why? Because I'm with thee. Is God with you? He told Joshua, "I'm with you." You know what? God's not only with you, He's in you. God is with you, God is for you, and God is in you. So this, you qualify. "Fear thou not, because I'm with you. Be not dismayed." That's that word dismayed again. He doesn't want you to get confused. He doesn't want you to get in the cloud. He said, why? "Because I'm your God. I'm your God. I'm your Abba. I'm your Father. I'm your God. And I will strengthen you. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to help you. Yea, I'm going to uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." That's Jesus. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and He's your righteousness. Amen. He said, "Don't be afraid. Fear thou not." He said, "I'm going to give you strength." Can you see God has strength to give you? Can you see that God has strength to give you? And then let's pull that over into the epistles where God is talking to the church. Because strength is a spiritual force. Fear is a spiritual force the devil needs you to walk in. Remember what Job said? "My greatest fear has come upon me." Fear attracts things, and strength brings things. Fear is what the devil needs to operate. How do I know that? How do I know that? You remember Peter walking on the water. Everybody remember Peter walking on the water? That was a glorious thing. I'd have loved to have seen Peter walk on the water. You know, and everybody always talks about Peter falling, but let's just give the guy some credit. He walked on the water. All right? So you remember he said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. So really he wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on the word come. So he walked out on that word come. And then what happened, though, he got into the natural and he saw the wind boisterous. How do you see the wind boisterous? Well, the wind was blowing through his hair. The water was hitting him in the face. And then he realized, you can only walk on water when there is no wind. Right? No. I mean, you know, everybody knows you gotta have to have flat water to walk on it. No, I mean, you can't walk on water at all. But the Bible says this, when he saw the winds boisterous, he became afraid. Listen to me. Even in the midst of a miracle, when you're walking it out, the devil needs you to get afraid. Because if he can get you back in fear, no matter what God's doing, he can undo it. What? Yeah, it's that powerful. It's that powerful. That's why the Lord kept telling Joshua, don't be afraid. Be courageous. Fear is dealing with an outcome, and strength is also dealing with an outcome. If you have the strength of God, you get God's outcome. But if you are walking in fear, you'll get the enemy's outcome or you'll get the circumstance that you see. Don't be afraid. Well, how do you get rid of fear? Well, one of the things is to get God's strength. God's strength pushes it out. He told him, that's what he kept saying, I need you to be strong. Because when you're strong, you won't be afraid. There's no room for fear. So how many know fear is an enemy? Because when Peter saw the wind boisterous, he grew afraid and he began to sink. How many know that Jesus will get you out of all your fears, though? He'll get you out of all your troubles. Everybody say, help me, Jesus. That's a good prayer to pray. That's what Peter did. And Jesus grabbed a hold of him and picked him back up. But my point to you is that God needs us and he wants us in order to have success. He wants us to get strength. So let's look at the epistles. Ephesians 6:10, the Amplified. It said, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Be strong in the Lord. Colossians 1:11 says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Strengthen with all might. Ephesians 3:16 says nearly the same thing. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with all might in his spirit, in the inner man. And everybody knows Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That word strengthen there is in dunamo. It comes from the word dunamis. Anybody got any dunamis in them? You got any dunamis? You got any dynamite on the inside of you? Amen? Be strengthened with all might. Amen. Are you strong in the Lord? See, these epistles are so important because that's our new covenant promise is to have God's strength. Where? In your inner man. It's not an outward thing. It works from the inside out. It works from the inside out. I'm strengthening my inner man, and it changes my outer man. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans says, quickens, makes alive my mortal flesh. Do you have the power of God on the inside of you? See, it's Christ in you. It's that power on the inside of you that'll bring some change to the outward circumstances if you believe in the strengthening power of God on the inside of you. You are strong in the Lord. So how do I make this happen? Y'all want this to happen? You want God's strength? Because see, it's one thing to know it's available, but it's another to walk in it. Can you all see we need the strength of God? You want to be a success, right? I don't want to. Have you ever failed? I have. Is failure good? I don't like it. All I want to do is win. I have the victory in him. I hate to lose. I hate to lose in life. I hate to lose. Does that make me bad? No, it makes me born again. Hallelujah. I believe God put born again. He put win on the inside of us. We always conquer. We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers in this life. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. He always causes me to triumph. God, no matter what the devil throws at you, you know, because the life and the enemy throw things at you. Listen to me. It's not whether the devil is going to throw something at you. He is. It's not whether life is going to deal you some blows. It will. You know, even the earth we live in right now, I don't care if you're the best prayer, the best person of faith, you're not going to pray away every war, every hurricane, every tornado, every earthquake, famine. You're not going to pray those things away. Do you believe in global warming? I believe in it so much that I believe it's all going to get burned up. Because that's what the Bible says. Quit worrying about whether it's going to happen and get the people saved. I'm not going to argue about that stuff. Listen, you can't change any of that. Why? Because Jesus said in the last days, there will be wars, rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be famine. There's going to be a mess. Who caused it? The earth and the last days. So what are you? Does that have to hit you? Can you get out of it? Absolutely. How? By being strong in the Lord. And you don't have to be afraid during these times we live in. Fear brings it to you. But the strength of God will see that you get delivered from it. He delivers you from every evil work. Amen. He delivers you out of all your troubles. How many? The ones you caused? The ones the devil caused? The ones the crazy people caused? He delivers us out of them all. Amen. Glory to God. So how do we obtain these things? Well, the best way that I would start to obtain this strength that God tells me I need is I would start with what I just gave you in the epistles. And I would confess them. I would open my mouth and begin to say, according to Ephesians 6:10, I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So you do it. Let's say do it together. Say, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm strong in the Lord. See, it doesn't matter what I'm seeing, especially if I'm seeing something that's trying to bring fear to me. I have to open my mouth and say what the word says. I'm strong in the Lord. See, I didn't tell you to feel strong in the Lord. Don't feel afraid. Well, if something comes, a circumstance to try to make you afraid, what do we got to do? We got to answer it back. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strengthened with all might in my inner man. Say that. Say, I'm strengthened with all might in my inner man. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is the strength of my life, a very present help in the time of trouble. He opens his hand and gives me strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I'm strong in the Lord. Come on, if you put your faith with that, you begin to mix that, and what'll happen? You'll throw your shoulders a little. I'm strong in the Lord. I will not be afraid. Because, you know, you begin to mix faith with what you're saying, and that strength will begin to rise up in you. So that's one way. Another way, y'all remember in Acts 27 when Paul was on the ship. Remember he was going to Rome? And remember he told the centurion, remember what he said? I perceive. In other words, he had a thing from the Spirit of God. He said, I perceive that this ship voyage, it's going to be a mess. He said, I believe the ship's going to be in trouble and we all might lose our lives. But remember what? The centurion believed the captain. I mean, you know, as an unbeliever, you would believe the captain of a ship over a preacher. And so they got out there, and remember, they got in a mess. And right in the middle of the storm, what did Paul do? He went into the bottom of the ship. You ever been on a boat or anything when there's a storm? I've been on a cruise ship when I didn't want to be anymore. I was telling him first service, one time we were on the Tennessee River. My dad had a pontoon boat. It wasn't one of those fast ones, and a storm was fast approaching, and it looked like the storm would get us. And, you know, there was a temptation to be afraid. So we stood at the I stood at the back of the boat and yelled at the storm, and we just kept ahead of it, just barely, hallelujah. But it didn't get us. I mean, there. How many of you know, everybody, all the prisoners and all the people on the ship were afraid. They thought they were all going to die. But Paul, one of the keys of receiving strength is he went and got in the presence of God. Because the Bible says Jesus came and stood by him. And he received, you know, first of all, I think Paul was delivered from the fear of death. How many of you know he wasn't afraid to die? He had already died before. Remember when they stoned him? He'd already been dead. He knows it's a good thing, and he wasn't afraid of dying. So that's number one fear, a big fear that you and I all have to get over. I'm not afraid to die. Well, I'm seeing that's really going over big. Hallelujah. But you can't be afraid to die. Are you born again? Then we're not going to lose you. We'll know exactly where you are. Amen. But we're not getting a load up today. Don't nobody worry. Everybody's staying on the earth. Hallelujah. I'm just saying we can't be afraid. Can't be afraid. And so Paul wasn't afraid to die, but he came up out of that. How many remember when he came up? I like the NIV version. He came up and he stood among them right in the middle of the storm. And he said what? He said, cheer up. Cheer up. He said, you know, basically he's saying to them, I've been with God. And he said, if y'all listen to me, everything's going to be all right. And he said, cheer up. Turn to your neighbor and tell him to cheer up. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, some fluffy thing. I'm talking about a spiritual force. How do you get that? You get that from the presence of God. Let's look at this in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29. Isaiah 40, verse 29. It says, he gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Amen? Because maybe you just feel like you're ready to give out. But if you don't have any might, you don't have any power, you don't have any strength. We're not talking about in the natural. How many of you know the Bible even says, let the weak say I am. Are you strong? See, you can either say what you got or you can say what you want to be. You can either say what you have or say what God says. Come on, everybody say it again, I'm strong. Let the weak say I'm strong. He gives power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increases strength. Verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. In other words, in the natural, it doesn't matter whether you're young or you're old. If you have your own strength, you're going to fall out anyway. Verse 31. But they that wait, what is that? Get in God's presence. Worship him. Get in his word. Worship him. Spend time with him. Because he is strength. Remember, he has strength in his hand to give you. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew. That word renew is a word that means exchange. In other words, I come with my strength and I give that to God. And when he has my strength, then he'll turn around and give me his strength. That word renew, if you study it out, means to exchange. It's like a Christmas present. You ever exchange Christmas presents? How many of you ever, don't raise your hand because it might be the person next to you. How many of you ever had an uneven exchange at Christmas? Well, this is an uneven exchange. You give God your strength, and he'll give you his strength. How? As you wait upon the Lord. And then, because just the verse before, he said, well, even the youth are going to fall. But he said, you are going to mount up with wings as eagles. You're going to run and not be weary. You will walk, and you ain't going to fall out. Amen. Because you're walking now in the strength of God. How did you get it? In his presence. Why? Because he has strength to give you. The Lord is the strength of my life. He's my strong tower. Amen. He's my fortress. Amen. He's my pavilion. I run into him and I am safe. Because he's the strength of my life. You know, Paul told him to cheer up. Everybody say, cheer up. Tell yourself to cheer up. Come on, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about cheering up. Anybody know Nehemiah 8:10? The joy of the Lord is my what? Now, I'm not talking to the joy of the Lord is your what? How do you get joy? The Bible said, I found his word, I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. The Bible says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. 1 Peter says this, it says, I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of my faith. I rejoice with joy. Paul told him to cheer up. I'm not talking about being happy. I'm talking about a spiritual force called joy, which also produces strength. And if I rejoice with joy unspeakable and it's full of glory, if it's unspeakable, that means it's not talking. There's got to be something else to it. It's unspeakable. So it might look like ha, 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 ha. It might look like some laughter. He who sits in the heaven laughs. The Bible talks about they came back with rejoicing and joy. Their tongue were filled with singing and their mouth was filled with laughter. I'm telling you, we're going to have to work on y'all just a minute. We're going to work on you because you're not going to leave here until you get some joy. And this is not a saturation meeting. If this is a saturation meeting, I just line you all up and lay hands on you until you're all saturated. But I'm telling you that this is the key. It's not based on happiness. It's not based on watching a comedy on TV. This is a fruit of the Spirit called joy that comes up from the inside, and it's something you got to yield to. And it's when you believe the word of God, doesn't matter what you see, what you feel, you can laugh at it. You can laugh with God. It's a joy that bubbles up from the inside. Amen. And sometimes as you just laugh, hallelujah, the Spirit of God will take hold together with you against the very thing the devil's trying to make you cry about. You'll start laughing about it. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not, you know, there's a joy that comes from the Lord that the devil, he after he's thrown everything at you, he threw the kitchen sink at you, he threw everything he had at you, and you can look at it and go, ha, 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 ha. Amen. And you can say, cheer up. Hallelujah. You can say, I've got joy. I got joy. I got joy. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. I rejoice in him. I am exceedingly glad. Hallelujah. Or like Sarah said, the Lord has made me to laugh. Amen. Ha, ha, ha. Try it. Try it. Ha, ha, ha. Well, at least put a smile on when you do it. Ha, ha, ha. Well, you'll laugh better if you stand up. Ha, ha. Go ahead, stand up. Ha, ha. Say it again. Ha, ha. I guess you're not saying anything. You're just laughing. Hallelujah. Ha, ha. Come on. Pastor Mark, this is Sunday morning. Ha, ha. Ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Well, I just feel stupid. Well, you look stupid if you're not going to just sit there and do it. Come on, you'll feel less stupid if you do it. No, I feel stupid if I do it. No, you're going to not. No, really, we're all doing this. Everybody's doing it. It's the end thing. We're all laughing. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. Listen, your car's here. We've already got a tape of you being here. You might as well join in. Everybody, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. Ha ha! Ha ha ha! Ha 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 ha! You know, I remember sometimes when I lay hands on people, the Lord will give them a prescription. He'll tell them, when you wake up in the morning, spend 5 minutes laughing. Well, what will that do? Well, it's better than crying. Ha ha! The Lord is the strength of my life, a very present help in the time of trouble. Ha, ha, ha. Everything's going to turn out all right because God's still God. Ha, ha, ha. It's going to work out to my favor. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Sounds like, Pastor, you're trying to talk yourself into laughing. That's exactly right. It's exactly right. Ha ha. How do I receive this joy? By confession of the word, by spending time in his presence, and then than digging into my spirit and letting joy come out. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Is. And it doesn't matter what's going on. You just laugh about it. Well, I think that could be rude. Yeah, to who? The devil? Ha ha ha. People think I'm crazy. Well, when you got your answer, I don't think they'll think you're crazy anymore. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Oh, I know some of you. You just haven't seen me at my wildest. You'll have to come sometime at a saturation meeting when the Spirit of God gets to moving like this, and we just, you can't make him move like that, but sometimes when he does, I've just seen people get so free. I'll tell you this story real quick, and I'm going to let you go. There was a time in my life, very early in my ministry, that I was really going through a rough time, and before it even got started real good, I was ready to quit. I don't know if you've ever felt like quitting. You ever felt like quitting? We don't want to talk about it, I understand. But sometimes you feel like quitting. And I felt like quitting. It's been very easy for me to go back to accounting. I was very good at it. But this ministry thing was, it was too hard, and I found Christians mean. And so I was done. And I went away to a meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma. One of Kenneth Hagin Sr.'s meetings. And I was there, and laughter fell in the room. And as I was driving down there, I had told the Lord, if you don't do something for me, I can't do this anymore. And so most of you have heard this story, some of you haven't. But there was a man named Floyd, and he was up singing this song. And I grew up in a denominational church, and so I hadn't heard some of these songs, and I never heard this one before. He starts singing, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus, can't nobody do me like the Lord." And so he is singing that. And the longer he sing it, I start, and he would sing it, and it was like, don't misunderstand, but I felt like I was getting drunk. And he would sing it and sing it, and I would be like, woo-hoo-hoo. And I just got so full. And I just got so full of God. And they said that I laughed solidly for 2.5 hours. Have you ever laughed? I'm not talking ha-ha-ha. I'm talking about one of those belly laughs. It's impossible physically to do. It was coming up out of my heart. They said that they took me and carried me to my car. They said the next morning I was outside of an apartment. I sat in the car all night and sang, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord." And I laughed. So if I can do that, and it was the Holy Ghost, and honestly, it changed my life forever. There's a spiritual force that I'm trying to get you to see. And you say, "Well, I feel like I'm just doing it in the flesh." Well, you got to start somewhere. And I just encourage you over this next week. How about on Monday? How about on Tuesday? How about on Wednesday? How about Thursday and Friday? For 5 minutes when you get out of bed, or while you're driving, or while you're waiting in line to get in Redstone, wherever you got to go. I mean, if you're on 72 and you're stuck, why not? Because people just think you're listening to something funny on the radio. Or they might roll down their window and see what's up, and they might join you. But why don't you just take 5 minutes and on purpose, ha ha ha. Let's practice some more. Ha ha ha. And smile while you're doing it. Ha ha ha. Why? The joy of the Lord is your strength. God needs to impart to you strength so that he can get you into your promised land. Everybody say it one more time. Ha, ha, ha. I'm now leaving the stage.